And joining us on the telephone from Ashland, Wisconsin, we have Lissa Ratke. And Lissa is the U.S. coordinator of the Lake Superior Binational Forum. Lissa, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Buck. It's good to be with you.
That's good to have you here. You know, Bob and I were speaking before the program just a little bit, and you must have multiple hats because I believe we've had you on the show before.
Yes, you have. Yeah. I've been delighted to be on the morning program several times to talk about Lake Superior, and this is the first time at the Roadhouse, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, as I said, it's nice to have you here. What is the, for the folks out there in the listening audience, what is the Lake Superior Binational Forum? What does that imply? What is that organization?
Well, we are, as the name implies, a binational group of American and Canadian citizen volunteers who've been working together for about 20 years now to serve as the link between the governments, the binational governments that manage the lake and make decisions about how the lake is managed, and we link the governments and their work that they do to the public, the lake users. So sometimes it's really difficult for people who live around the lake and use the natural resources to have access to government officials who are making decisions, and that's where the forum comes in.
Well, I imagine that the different governments, let's say state of Michigan, state of Minnesota, you know, the province of Ontario, they all have different ways of approaching the laws, the ways of protecting the lake. Is part of the forum to try to make that all work? Is that what it is?
Well, that's definitely part of it. These binational agencies and organizations, which include the federal agencies, in the U.S., of course, that's the Environmental Protection Agency, and in Canada, that's Environment Canada, they team with the provincial agencies and the states and even the tribes and the First Nations agencies. And they've all worked for the last 15 years putting together what's called a lakewide management plan, or we've shortened that to LAMP. And the LAMP is a set of agreements that these agencies have worked towards voluntarily to find the best management practices for managing the water, the land, the ecosystems, the plants, the wildlife, sustainability issues. They've all put together and agreed upon a set of goals and management practices for which they manage the lake. So there are state laws and provincial laws and federal laws that reach farther and deeper than this lakewide management plan, but definitely everyone involved with doing something to protect the lake has bought into and is following this guide to how to take care of it.
And the Binational Forum is going to be holding a public meeting right here in Grand Marais on Friday, September 9th, 12:30 to 4:30 p.m. What's the topic at the meeting in Grand Marais?
Well, we do visit four communities every year on both sides of the border. So we have chosen Grand Marais because we haven't been here for about 12 years. And we talked to numerous people on the North Shore to say what issues are important to the folks who live there so that we can learn about those issues and tell our governments and so that we can share some of the things that we know about those issues. So we decided that this focus meeting would focus on the title called Improving Water Quality and Building a Sustainable Economy on the Minnesota North Shore. So we'll bring three speakers that are talking about how to improve water quality on land and in the water, and how to build sustainable economies.
You know, that's some topic that comes up in many different ways, is sustainable economy. That implies not only the economy, but also the resources. Maybe you could talk just a little bit about what that means to folks.
Well, it's a really good question right now. There are some, shall we say, extraction processes that are being proposed around the Lake Superior Basin. There are currently about 20 different mines that are being proposed or being expanded. And these are ways to create jobs for people, but they're not really sustainable jobs because we know that the resources, the metals, the minerals that they're trying to extract are finite. Eventually, they'll run out. And so we really have to rethink how we use these resources in the Lake Superior Basin. And that's where it's so important to find these examples of sustainable economies. And, of course, one that many of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with is the Silver Bay Eco Park that's just broken ground on the first phase of the project, which is building greenhouses for food and an aquaculture center. So we'll be bringing in the project manager of the Silver Bay Eco Park, Bruce Carman, to tell us what their short and long-term goals are for building a sustainable economy by sustainably using natural resources.
I think maybe one of the extraction topics we had on the Roadhouse here a couple weeks ago, and that would be the polymet mining that's been in the news so much lately.
Yes, that's one of many in your area. Of course, there is a long history of mining in the Iron Range. Mm-hmm. Even though Hibbing seems fairly far from the Lake Superior shoreline, it is in the natural drainage basin of the of Lake Superior. So just about 4 miles west of Hibbing in the Iron Range, the water that falls on that land about 4 miles west actually goes into the Mississippi Basin. But that whole Iron Range is part of Lake Superior Basin, so we're really interested in what's happening in mining. Polymet is one example of a mine. I live about 20 miles north of a new mine proposed for Mellon, Wisconsin, and there's several big ones up in Terrace Bay, Ontario, Marathon, Ontario, and certainly a very large mine proposed for Marquette in Michigan. So it's an issue that is very, very important to people in the basin and really causes us to think about how do we want these resources used. Are we willing to suffer some of the potential damages to our water quality and the rest of our environment, or are there green jobs that we can bring to our communities instead?
Now, I took a peek around the website, and, of course, it's the Lake Superior Bi-National Forum website, and some of the things that are talked about there as ways to protect Lake Superior are things that maybe people may not think about in relation to the lake right away, and they have to do with using alternative light bulbs, just saving energy. With the idea behind that, I'm assuming being that we use less coal. What is the relationship between things like coal and Lake Superior?
Well, that's a fantastic question, and it's sort of counterintuitive when you think about how a light bulb that we choose in our house might affect the lake. But one of the things that the forum is looking at very closely is the impact of climate change on Lake Superior. We're already seeing through our national parks and some of our businesses and even in our own lives that there are major changes with our climate in the basin. And so the forum, as well as all of our binational partners, are really looking carefully at what we can do to offset some of these changes. And one of them is to use less energy. Every time those of us in the basement, or I'm sorry, the basin.
That's where we are, is in the basement. You're probably not.
I'm not, but I still have lights on right now. My office is kind of dark, but every time we turn in a light in our office or our basements, we are requiring that more coal is being burnt. All of our power plants in the Lake Superior Basin are coal-fired power plants, so they're using a lot of coal. Now, if we're using less energy, that means that we are requiring less coal to be burned. And why is that an issue? Well, a lot of coal is relatively free of some toxins, but everything that is burned, such as coal, puts off mercury and sometimes sulfides. And the coal-fired power plants that are in the basin burn the coal, put mercury out into the air, which mixes with water vapor and forms rain, and rains down into the lake, which adds more mercury to the lake and all of our groundwater and our soil, which we grow our food. And so even something as simple as changing one light bulb from a regular incandescent bulb into an energy-efficient light bulb reduces the amount of coal that you burn at your home or your office. So one of the things the forum has done is gotten some funding through the EPA's Great Lakes Restoration Initiative to purchase 1,000 light bulbs, compact fluorescent light bulbs that use less energy. And we'll be bringing up about 100 free bulbs with us to our meeting and giving them away to folks who want to take them home or to their basement offices and switch their regular bulb and use one that uses less coal.
Now, everybody can come. I assume it's open to the general public, this meeting?
That's right. You can just show up. You don't have to pre-register, and if you want to make public comments, which we encourage, you don't have to pre-register like you might in a more formal public hearing.
And I believe you have other speakers from this area, from Cook County, who are going to be presenting there as well. I believe Rick Schubert from the Flute Reed River Watershed is one of them, and Eileena Berg also.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Eileena Berg, many of you might know her as the Water Plan Coordinator with the Cook County Water and Land Conservation District, and she's going to bring Biz Clark with her, who's the chair of the Coalition of Lakes Associations. They're going to be talking about what all of us as average citizens can do to minimize our impacts on the land and water of the North Shore. And then we're really excited, we're offering a tour with Gwen Carman, who is the principal of the Cook County Public Schools, and a Boy Scout, Alex Dittmanson. They have both been instrumental in establishing a Cook County School Outdoor Education Center and organic garden right on the school grounds. And so Gwen has told me that they've been working on it all summer, and there's going to be a nice tour to see how that whole garden plot is coming along to grow vegetables for the school kids.
Well, it sounds like a great opportunity for folks. That's happening, the forum's public meeting here in Grand Marais. I believe it's September 9th, 12:30 to 4:30.
Right.
And as we mentioned earlier, everybody is invited, and you are hoping that they'll bring their comments and questions about in general about Lake Superior and in specific. And you also have a website, Lissa, that they can go to.
We do. We have a newly redesigned website that we think is really user-friendly, so we'd love people to check that out. Our address is really simple. It's superiorforum.org. And we've got right on our homepage right now the actual agenda and a poster you can download if you want to put that somewhere in an office or a community place to bring more people. And we've also got an opportunity for folks to sign up for our brand-new program called Friends of the Lake. We figured that the world's largest lake needed a Friends program. Well, it's kind of like a Friends of a Park or Friends of the Library program. We're calling it Lake Superior Stewards. And that's, again, a free educational program where we encourage people. All we would ask you to do is go to our website and click on our Lake Superior Stewards button. It takes about 30 seconds to tell us at least one thing that you will do to protect Lake Superior in the next year. And if you want our free newsletter, you can leave your email address and we'll send that out and give you lots of other options for how to protect the places you love.
Well, that sounds great, Lissa. There's, as you mentioned, there's lots of different ways to approach this for folks out in our listening audience. We've been speaking with Lissa Radke. Lissa is the U.S. coordinator of the Lake Superior Binational Forum. It's going to be a public meeting here in Grand Marais on September 9th from 12:30 to 4:30. Lissa, I'm sure you'll be there.
Yes, we will be there with our members and volunteers and I'm told by Sue at the Arrowhead Arts Center that it holds 250 people, so we are hoping for standing room only next Friday.
Thank you very much, and thank you so much for joining us here tonight, Lissa Radke.